This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, and you've probably noticed that WVXU has updated its programming, and we have added some really nice shows to this lineup for your listening pleasure, one of which is the long-running Latino USA. And joining us now is the host of that program, Maria Hinojosa. Maria, thank you so much for giving us the time.
Oh my God, I'm thrilled to be with you. And hello, Cincinnati. Yay!
I know that Cincinnati is excited to have you. And you will be airing at 6 p.m. on Saturdays here on 91.7 and at WVXU.org. And I think the good news is that we share a bit of a connection because Cincinnati is a strong Midwestern town. You're from the capital of the Midwest, Chicago.
Well, born in Mexico City, raised on the south side of Chicago, and I've been in Harlem, New York, for, well, over 30 years now. But my roots to the Midwest, to Chicago, frankly, to Ohio. I think a lot about Ohio. I know that you all may be just like, what? No, I'm here in New York City. And there are many days when I'm thinking about Ohio, the people of Ohio, how the voters are feeling in Ohio. So now that Cincinnati is carrying Latino USA, I'm going to be even more specifically thinking about the people of Cincinnati.
Well, you lived in Chicago, I should say, and Chicago has such a large population of Hispanic Americans. And we see here in Cincinnati a much smaller population, but one that is growing. What can our audience expect to learn? And I'm talking about a predominantly white audience, by the way, listening to your program. And what can they expect to learn from listening to this on perhaps how to better engage that community that they might not have a lot of interaction with in their day-to-day lives?
I would actually venture to say that there may be more connection with the Latino and Latina community than you think. And so I would first just say in everybody's personal lives to just open their eyes. Who is around you, actually? You know, oftentimes part of the issue with being Latino and Latina in the United States of America, as opposed to, for example, being Black, African-American, is that there is a level of invisibility. It's kind of like we're there, but we're not there. We're leading the news, but we're not on the headlines. For example, you know, the numbers of Latinos and Latinas dying from COVID-related deaths, outpacing their percentages in the populations. You know, and yet you don't really see or hear those stories. They're not, you know, leading the New York Times on the front page above the fold in bold letters. So I guess my first answer to your question would be, you know, Latinos and Latinas are you. So like me, I mean, I was born in Mexico, but I was raised in Chicago. I'm a Chicago girl. And so, you know, when people meet me, they may be like, oh, but you're Mexican immigrant. And yes, but in fact, I'm just like you in so many ways. And I think Latino USA is basically saying, we're here, we're all around you, and you're going to hear these really fascinating stories, a lot of it reporting, hard-nosed reporting, and some of it just, you know, beautiful narrative storytelling, a reportage that takes you to places, it teaches you history. But ultimately, the lesson of it all is that we're here. We've always been here. We are your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. You're playing with your children or your grandchildren. You know, one out of every four kindergartners in the United States is Latino or Latina. So for people who have grandchildren, your grandchildren are going to be playing more with Jose and Katrina. And actually, interestingly, like one of the most popular names for Latinos, it used to be, was Ashley, you know,
oh, really?
Or Glenn, you know, right. Because, you know, Latinos and Latinas also, because we at this particular moment in history feel, frankly, so targeted and so focused on, and not necessarily for the best reasons or for the true reasons, right? So there's a lot of desire to be a part of and to not stand out. I understand that. But Latino USA says, we're just going to tell you the stories of who we are because we are your fellow Americans. And if it affects Latinos and Latinas, then it affects all of us because we're part and parcel of this country.
And we're talking with Maria Hinojosa, the host of Latino USA, which is finally added to the WVXU schedule. You can hear it on Saturdays at 6 o'clock. And Maria, unfortunately, at this moment in time, our little kindergarten students probably aren't playing with Jose and Katrina because school's not in session, and that's because of this COVID pandemic. You note very accurately that the Latino population has been extremely heavily impacted by this, and it's not gotten an appropriate amount of coverage. And you yourself, you survived COVID.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it today as I was walking back from my outdoor boxing session at 7 a.m. in my Harlem Park. So everybody should know I'm fine. I'm healthy. I survived it. And I'm, you know, I work out, you know, 7 times a week. So please don't worry about me. I'm fine. I was thinking about the fact that there was such a period of denial when I got sick, you know, and that's the thing that happens is that for those of us who have survived COVID, it's like there's definite PTSD, like for sure. You know, that is one of the lingering effects. Another lingering effect is that I've heard many people, you forget words. You actually can just forget a word. You cannot, something as simple as like an envelope. Like you're just like, no, you know, the thing that you put a letter in, you cannot remember specific words. It's so strange. And I think what I focus on now a lot is being grateful of to having survived this. It's slowed down a little bit, but not a week went by when somebody that I knew didn't die, or somebody that I knew had family who died, or somebody that I knew got infected, newly infected. So I worry, to be honest with you, like the PTSD manifests when I start seeing so many people out and about, you know, where I am in New York City, in Harlem, and then I travel. We have a small cottage in a small town in Connecticut. And both of these places, everyone wears a mask all of the time. In New York, it's kind of interesting. In Harlem, I love the fact that now people wear masks even when you don't really need to be. You know, when you're in a park and there isn't anyone around because it's 7 o'clock in the morning and you're walking a dog, people are wearing their masks because it is a sign of respect. It is a sign of, frankly, being in this moment, of being with the times. It is the hip thing to do is to wear a mask because what it says is, I care about you. I might be infected and I don't even know, so I'm going to put on my mask out of respect for you. It's not this ego thing of how you feel about wearing a mask. It's how you feel what you're doing for your neighbor, your friend, your family member.
And again, we're talking with Maria Hinojosa, host of Latino USA, which has just been added to the WVXU lineup Saturday evenings at 6 o'clock. Maria, you talk about seeing so many people wear masks as a sign of respect. And I think that's a valid observation, but it's not unanimously shared, of course. And this is America in 2020, and there's a lot of division going on, particularly related to the response to COVID. Not the least of which of these divisions is a couple of things that have plagued our nation even before its founding, and that would be racial injustice and economic inequality. And you have a new memoir out called Once I Was You, a memoir of love and hate in a torn America. America certainly does feel torn, but how do you see that tear?
You know, my book, Once I Was You, is, I might have deemed it like a love letter to my country, because it really is me coming to terms with not only my immigrant story, but really with being a woman in the United States of America. So it's kind of the story of feminism of the 1960s and 70s. The book, it turns out, you know, I talk about being a survivor of rape, which didn't really come to the fore until the nomination of Justice Kavanaugh and all of that kind of pouring out of women. So it's a book that deals with the media, with my experience. I was doing an interview yesterday and with a Latina journalist, and she was like, so you really were the first, like the first? And I'm like, no, I really was the first. You know, I was the first Latina ever to work in the editorial division of NPR. So there may have been Latina women who were cleaning the offices of the headquarters of NPR in Washington, D.C., but I was the first Latina to be in the newsroom. I was the first Latina to be a correspondent for CNN, the first Latina to be a senior correspondent and anchor for PBS. And that's there's part of that story in the book, too, is a lot of people, you know, they just see Latinos or Latinas and they like see us in a kind of box, you know. But I grew up in the United States of America watching the evening news, watching Dan Rather, you know, reporting from Vietnam. And so the news, consumption of news, journalism was such an important part of my immigrant experience. Also, we never saw ourselves. So even though we in my family watched the news every single night, you know, where we spoke Spanish and my family spoke with accents, we watched the news every single night. And we never saw ourselves reflected there. And I think that's part of what ends up happening is that I take that and I flip it around and I become a journalist and I assume my voice and my power. So it's very much a woman's story, too, in just battling the imposter syndrome and believing that we have voice. So it's thank you for asking about the book. We're very excited. It comes out September 15th. And it's a labor of love. And I'm really hoping that women of all backgrounds and men, why am I focusing just on women and men, obviously. It's really a labor of love. And there's a lot of Midwest there, too. There's quite a bit of Midwest experience. So a lot of people can identify with that.
And before we let you go, Maria, I'm hoping that you can expand a little bit on what you were talking about on not seeing yourself reflected in the news consumption that your family engaged in when you were younger. And I mean, we all know the phrase that representation matters. But what does it mean to someone who's not white? I mean, a white guy like me, I see myself reflected on television, billboards all day, every day, without really understanding what that means. But what does it mean to someone else?
That's a wonderful question. And thank you so much for asking, because part of what you're doing in your questioning is you're saying, wait, I need to take a moment and pause and realize that I do see myself everywhere all the time in every single position. I'm like, wow, that must be pretty cool. Like to grow up seeing yourself as an astronaut, as a lawyer, as a firefighter, as a CEO, as a journalist, as a, you know, like, whoa. No, when I was growing up, there were no Latinos or Latinas on television, period, doing anything. Cesar Chavez, you know, he was the first one that I remember seeing on television. I was in Chicago. He was in California. What ends up happening is that invisibility, the feeling of invisibility is actually psychologically damaging. We don't really talk about it in those terms, but there is scientific research that shows that it's actually detrimental to your mental health to think of yourself as invisible and therefore not being important enough or valuable to be in the conversation. What I write about in Once I Was You is that this invisibility made me never think I was good enough. It was actually a white woman who said to me in college here at Barnard College in New York, she was the one who said to me, no, you are going to apply for that internship at NPR, National Public Radio. And I was like, but I'm not good enough. Come on. Like, I've never seen a Latina journalist anywhere. There are none at NPR. Like, she was like, you're applying. So I say that on purpose, because part of what the responsibility of somebody who is not Latino, Latina, immigrant, African-American, Muslim, etc., is in fact to recognize and use your privilege in that way. Like, what would have happened if this compañera from Barnard had not taken a moment to say, you are worthy, smart, fabulous, Latina, heck yes, apply to that job, that internship. If she hadn't said that, I wouldn't have applied and I wouldn't be here talking to you now. So we need to recognize that for a lot of us, we internalize self-hatred. We internalize our feeling that we're less valuable. And in the worst case, that draws us away from participating in greater society. In the best case, we become visible. We own our power. We own our voice. And what that means is not that we take over the way this administration kind of like, they're coming to take over. No, we just want to hang out with you, party with you, dance with you, eat with you, be your neighbors, work with you. There is no secret agenda of Latinos and Latinas and immigrants in the United States of America. And why am I saying that? Because I am one. And I have spent over 3 decades of my career as a journalist speaking to immigrants daily. Never once has any of ever said, that's our secret plan, is to come in here and take over and make everybody speak Spanish and make this into Latin America. No. So before you believe something that someone is trying to sell you about Latinos and Latinas, Actually look around you. And listen to Latino USA, you know, listen to the work that we do, read Once I Was You, and understand that we are actually everywhere, and we are you. We are you.
And the book is called Once I Was You, A Memoir of Love and Hate in a Torn America, and the show is called Latino USA. You can hear it on WVXU on Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. The author and host is Maria Hinojosa. And I'm so glad, Maria, that you took that advice at Barnard and built the program that you did and that it's on our air now. And I'm grateful for the time you gave us today. Maria, thank you so much for being our guest.
And I can't wait to be in Cincinnati in person, because I know we've got followers, and I have many people in Ohio who are followers of our work. And I just can't wait to be there in person and do what I do, which is actually give hugs. It will come back. Maybe a while, but I promise I'll be giving hugs in Cincinnati one day soon.
I think a lot of people will be ready for that when that time comes. Maria, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Marks.